Commemorations have been going on around the world to mark the day 100 years ago when the Titanic sank on its maiden voyage. Passengers and crew on board a British cruise ship have held a special service above the spot where the Titanic went down in the North Atlantic and will cross to the Balmoral in a moment. For the last week, the ship has been tracing the course the Titanic took on her one and only voyage. On board is David Dyer, a former seaman and maritime lawyer. He's probably Australia's biggest Titanic enthusiast. As a child, David used to rearrange his bedroom furniture to reenact aspects of the sinking. I spoke with David Dyer via satellite phone earlier this morning.
Fran, it was an extraordinary moment. It's only a few hours ago. We're on our way to Halifax now, but just a few hours ago, we were over the wreck site. The captain had timed it so that we arrived at the site just at the same time the Titanic hit its iceberg, and that was at 20 to midnight. And then he stopped the ship, and I was very grateful that the conditions at the site were exactly the same, or at least very similar to those the Titanic itself would have experienced. So it was a very dark night. There was no moon. There was no wind, very still, very black, just stars blazing above. So it was the perfect setting for the ceremonies which followed.
And what were those ceremonies? What did you do?
Fran, there were two ceremonies marking the two important times of that night. The first one took place at 20 to midnight, which was the time the Titanic hit the iceberg. At that time, the captain brought our ship to a stop. He sounded the ship's whistle, which is a long, mournful note, which sort of floats out over the water. And then we had 2 minutes of silence, and we had all of the passengers on the deck at that time, more than 1,000 people, just standing in perfect silence, contemplating the events of 100 years ago. The second ceremony took place a little later, closer to 2:20 a.m., which was the time the Titanic sank, and that was a service which began inside the ship in the restaurant and then and in a forward lounge, but then moved to the aft open decks of the ship where hymns were sung, and then three wreaths were dropped into the water at exactly 2:20 a.m. And a Welsh singer sang "Nearer My God to Thee." It was a very profound and very touching moment. At that point.
Particularly solemn perhaps obviously a solemn moment for all, but some of those on board are relatives of, their ancestors were buried beneath a group one woman described as the Titanic cousins. Did any of these people speak at the ceremonies?
They didn't speak at the ceremony, but they certainly did speak. They have been speaking during the course of the voyage, and we've been listening to their very interesting stories. One man, for instance, has very his grandfather, who was a first-class steward and who survived the sinking. Another woman has memories, or at least has stories, of her great-grandfather who died in the sinking.
It's obviously, as I say, been a very solemn tone overnight, but overall, has there been a theatricality to the voyage? I mean, we saw some people get on board dressed up in costume. How faithful has the reenactment been?
The voyage has had a strange double tone, if you like. There has been that theatricality. There's been a lot of fun. There's been a lot of singing and dancing, a lot of people dressing up in those Edwardian outfits, and that's been a lot of fun, and we've been eating lots of food from the original Titanic menus as well. But always underlying that fun has been a somber sense of the purpose of this voyage, and the purpose really has been to remember the 1,500 people who died in that very terrible and very scary way. And I think the ceremony just a few hours ago really brought that out, that this was about remembering those people and what they, through their sacrifice, contributed to maritime safety in the years that have followed. So yes, there has been a lot of fun, but also a lot of time to think and to be sad about what happened.
And David, as you remembered the 1,500 people, the lives lost, and the sort of drama and trauma of the time, a major part of the Titanic story is class division. Is there first class and steerage on the Balmoral on this journey?
Only in that there are some cabins which are better than others. But, for instance, if I were to be divided or allocated to one of the vessels, it would be, most certainly be steerage. I can tell that by the low level of my cabin in the ship. The ocean is just outside my portholes here. But the very positive thing is that that doesn't mean that we've had any different access to the food or to all of the facilities that the ship has. Unlike in the Titanic's day, of course, where the third-class people really stayed in the third-class spaces, and all of the lovely luxuries that the Titanic had really were the province of the first class. We at least can still have cocktails in the very highest bar and use the gym and use the swimming pools and the spas, which we have been doing.
As you're on board there and you look around you and see nothing but ocean in every direction, it must give you a taste of how isolated the passengers would have been at that time. Did it also enrage you at points, given what we know about the story of some people taking the lifeboats ahead of others and that kind of not just panic but bad behaviour that went on?
It certainly made me think how important the lifeboats are. I've been wandering around the ship. I mean, after we left Ireland, only the very next day we had a medical emergency on board, and we really were at the very edge of the range of the helicopter. In fact, we had to head back a little bit towards Ireland, and then the rescue helicopter came out to the ship. And then when that rescue took place and we headed back west across the Atlantic, it really drove home the point that you're on your own. Once you're out there in the middle of the ocean, even though this ship is lovely and luxurious and so on, it's very small compared to the distant horizon. And it does make how the authorities at the time could have imagined that it was an appropriate policy to not have lifeboats for everybody on the ship. Because if something goes wrong with the ship, they are your only option.
David, you've been a Titanic enthusiast your whole life, remarkably since you're a little boy. Has this voyage been everything you wanted it, hoped it would be?
Fran, it has. The climax for me was last night, just a few hours ago. It was one of those times where I felt all my life, in a way, has been leading to this moment. I felt very grateful that I was there, but also very sad because I didn't want the moment to end. I almost felt like I wanted that this space was my space. It had been something that I'd really thought about a lot all of my life, and I wanted to stay there longer. But in a way, I'm glad that we've spent our hours there and we've moved on, and I've got my memories and my photographs and so on, and that will have to do. But it was a very strange experience for me, a very profound experience, and one that I will never forget.
Well, good luck with the forward voyage, David, and thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
It's been my pleasure.
That's David Dyer on board the cruise ship, the Balmoral, which is currently tracing the Titanic's fatal voyage.